Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial, coming from Bozeman, Montana. I'm Jim.
And I'm Marion.
And we're your hosts today for the, what's the name of our show?
Meditation to Self-Realization.
And our guest today is Maria Humphreys.
And Maria is a meditation teacher. So we're going to be speaking with her, and she will give us some information and wisdom about the benefits of meditation and the various kinds of meditation one can tap into.
We met Maria at a special event in Sun Valley, Idaho, and Maria, we'll go over a little bit of that probably in the interview, is my guess. But before we get started, Marion would like to do our
little pause. We're going to take some time to center ourselves and connect with ourselves and one another, all of our listeners tonight. And so
we'll get started.
Please close your eyes. If you are able, I mean, that is. And sit with your spine straight. And let's take three deep breaths. And feel your chest rise as you inhale. And feel your chest fall as you exhale. Slow and deep. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Try to hold your attention on your breath. And we'll take another three breaths, slow and deep, filling your belly. And making the exhale longer than the inhale. And now, as we're self-connecting, slowly say within yourself, may I find the answers I seek. May I discover the solutions I need. May my life be beautiful. Take a deep breath, and when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Join us for our interview with Maria. I did want to share with you that the speaking we did inside to ourselves was taken from the book that we've used, The Four Sacred Secrets by Preetaji and Krishnaji. And that was by Krishnaji suggesting the journey of seeking the answers we need in our life and the solutions. And of course, the request for a beautiful life.
All right, let's see if we can bring up Maria somewhere here.
Maria here? Yes. Hi, Maria.
Hello, you guys. How are you today?
We're doing really good. We're excited to get to know you better.
That is such a beautiful way to start the conversation right there, too. Really honing in on this conversation, centering everything that we're going to talk about. Hopefully it will be touching people out there in the world, that it will help and uplift in some way. And yeah. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'm Maria.
And where exactly do you live, Maria?
I'm in Southern California. And I know we're going to talk about AICM right now. I'm really excited because one of their events that's coming up in June is going to be here near me in Westlake Village, which is in the north part of Los Angeles. So I'm excited. Some of the people from India are going to be here, and people traveling from all over the country. I'm hoping some people from Montana might make it out here too.
Oh, I would.
If we get tired of the snow. I think it's called FOA.
Yes.
Field of Awakening.
Yeah.
We met you at a FOA in Sun Valley.
Yes, in Idaho, right. During the pandemic, we braved it anyway. It was so beautiful being in the presence of Preetaji.
Yeah.
It was just so amazing. I know some of your listeners here have heard Preetaji. Her energy and her voice has come through your show here too. But it's amazing how this technology works. But to meet in person was so much fun, and to be wandering around that great town there in Sun Valley, that was amazing.
Yeah, well, even in the last show we did, if anybody listening out there wants to backtrack to our last show, we had a YouTube of Preetaji doing a compassion. Mm. In that, it's a small process, and that's kind of what you go through with FOA, meditation, processing, where you're at in the past and where you're at now. And it was just beautiful. It really opens up the inner core of oneself, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Now, did your listeners, do they realize that there's the Breathing Room app as well?
We have it's mentioned free. Do you know it right off the top of your head, Maria?
The Breathing Room app?
Well, I guess it's just the Breathing Room app. Yeah.
It's called the Breathing Room. It's kind of like Insight Timer or Calm. There are so many different meditation apps out there in the world, but AICM has created the Breathing Room, and it's all Preetaji. I think there might be some Krishnaji.
Well, and there's also some, maybe other Dasas, I'm not sure, but there are others. Not at the beginning.
The Oneness Festival from last year, a couple of days that way.
And the amazing thing about it is that it's free.
Yes.
You know, you can pay. There is a paid version where you have access to a little lengthier meditations and kind of
variety
courses. But the free app itself has some of the main really core meditations that are so beautiful, like that compassion meditation or the soul sync, gratitude,
serene mind,
to go to sleep. Yes. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I love the way Preetaji, you know, guides the meditations. It's just beautiful. And the music, the music is so pretty in the background on there.
And you got to meet the musician.
Yes, I did here in Los Angeles. One of the, I went to an event. It was an event where people were sharing about their experiences at Tapas, which I think we're going to talk about right here too. But it's so beautiful to hear other people's reactions and responses and journeys. It helps us all feel more connected, and we can realize, you know, just regular people can have the same experience as a monk in India. It's okay. You know, it's just beautiful.
In fact, I'm curious, Maria, how did you start your spiritual journey, or when did you start your spiritual journey?
Well, I went in this direction. I first got involved with, it was the Oneness University at the time, about 15 years ago. Prior to that, I grew up Catholic. So I grew up with prayer and, you know, services, and went through all the sacraments and stuff. My husband's not Catholic, but I really have always been very open-minded to different ways, to different belief systems. And about 15 years ago, I actually was going through, okay, we're going to get really personal here. I was going through really severe postpartum depression. So that's what initially brought me into Oneness, because I took a local Parks and Rec class about meditation. It was specifically about chanting, and it was about chakra dhyana meditation. And that's where I first really got connected with all of this energy, because for me, I had a history of doing a lot of yoga and meditation and such, but for the most part, guided meditations, I always found myself kind of frustrated because I was never quite on that beach or in the cave or whatever they were trying to have me go through in my mind, right?
There was some resistance, are you saying?
My imagination just couldn't flow with it.
I see.
I couldn't really get into meditation very much. So the chanting really spoke to me, because, and now I'm a teacher. I teach people meditation in general, but I love teaching them chakra dhyana in particular. As I like to explain, it's like your focus is one sound, and you don't have to memorize anything. You don't have to do anything. It's so relaxing, and your voice, your own voice, has the power to heal you, and it has the power to help you connect with the divine, whatever that may mean to you, God, source, highest power, whatever it may be. But that sound and that vibration for me in my body and in my energy is, I just really connected with. And so as my spiritual journey has evolved, I can get into those guided meditations now too. I can enjoy more things because I have that base. That chanting really gave me that base, that core.
I'm guessing that it opened up your centers more, your energy centers, your chakras.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not just my throat chakra, where we communicate, but the listening too.
Sure.
Just it's, and the confidence. I work with kids, and a lot of times I'm telling them it's okay to make sound. Everyone isn't listening to you, because everyone else is making the sound also. Everyone's going about their own lives, and that's a lot of anxiety is caused by fear of everyone looking at you, right? Yeah. And when you get past that and you can really go into it, it's such a sense of freedom. It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
And then becoming one voice in the chant.
Absolutely.
And consciousness.
Absolutely.
Right. So many chants. It's so few words, and you might not understand what the word is if it's Hindu. And yet it's amazing how, you know, you can, with the certain pronunciations, the tip of your tongue, gets the roof of your mouth. It takes you into the pineal gland, which opens up that third eye. And all of a sudden you're into your different brainwave levels. And you can go up and down from alpha to theta to delta to beta, depending on, without even knowing it.
And you don't need to know. And I love what you just said too, because it's like the vocabulary and the meaning of the words. Sometimes, depending on the province, for instance, in India, even different areas will say different sounds. Right. Like Deepak Chopra might say lum with an M. Mm-hmm. And then in Akam, they're saying lung with an NG sound. And it's okay. You know, it's just such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful lesson there in and of itself that it's okay to use different language to describe the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the feeling and the connection. That's what's important.
Mm-hmm. And what it brings alive, what the mantra might mean to me might mean something different to you, just a different nuance or a different inward experience.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful thought. I just picked up an ad for a new Gary Zykov book, if you've ever read him, all about relationship and stuff. And this one is the human, something human. And he goes through all the different religions saying the same thing in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
We have our oneness.
Here we have our oneness. And it's just like we were both raised Catholic. So we know what that's like. You're a Catholic. And then we're in this Hindu, philosophy. It started quite some time ago for me and Marion. But it connects, but I connect different with that culture and the way that, they connect the dots.
Right. Well, it makes me appreciate. Makes me appreciate some of the Catholic stuff more.
Yeah.
Because like
the halos
on saints' heads, that's the Kundalini energy and light. And so through artists painting saints through thousands of years, that light is there.
Yeah,
truly. It doesn't matter what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even what we heard Leah say, someone in our early morning meditation group, our Space for Grace, she mentioned about the statue of Mother Mary or the Virgin Mary with the golden orb.
Yes.
Which is something that is the cosmic womb.
And I've seen that before in the church that I was raised in. She was standing on top of that. It's an actual statue of her standing on top of this golden ball, golden orb,
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, but it just fascinates me how it all interconnects. And one thing I like to get back to too is what you were talking about with meditations. It's guided meditations. Very difficult for me to where's that beach? Just like you mentioned.
Yes. Yeah.
And with a lot of the meditations that I like about the Pritaji does and Krishna G, it is a process. And I love it when she gets into asking pointed questions. Is that true for you? Or is that, and now all of a sudden you're sitting there in this meditation and you have to take a look at how you deal with pain or whatever. And that's what I love about the meditations of some of the meditations that come through ACOM. They're guided meditations with a process that gets you involved in your inner journey.
Well, it's interesting you use that word process, because I think it's important to note there's a difference between meditation and going through a process sometimes. And that's important for your listeners to understand too. If they go to any of the events and such, when you're at a 4-day event with Pritaji, for instance, you're going through several different types of exercises or practices. Some of them are meditation, And some of them are processes where, like you said, Jim, you ask questions, you use your visualization or your memory, and you actually change. A process creates a change in you. Or sometimes meditation, sometimes it is to find that connection and to regain power and such and feel whole. But a process is a little different. It has a different purpose. And Preetaji, I think in all of her teachings and shares, you can find those processes, you know, especially like in the Breathing Room app, it will list them. If you're going through a hard time with grief or whatever the case may be.
In relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Relationships or, I mean, sleep, for instance,
yes,
is not necessarily a process, but it's a meditation to get sleep and relaxation. I also love meditations that are designed to boost your energy, you know, to raise that kundalini and to really fire you up, because I think it's so important when we're talking about meditation, it isn't just to relax, it's to honor yourself and take the time to stop so that you can be more enlivened when you come out of it and be activated to make right choices and stuff.
Oh, what a beautiful distinction, Maria. I'm really grateful that you made the distinction between the meditation and the process, mm-hmm, because I felt that, but I didn't really have the words to describe it. Mm-hmm. Jim and I have only, you know, just started this journey with oneness.
Mm-hmm.
During the COVID, we started.
Ah, okay. You guys are so great at it.
Well, we love it.
We've been through a lot of processes. Now we're ready to meditate.
And you come out with your voices so strong and ready to share. It's just so beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, it is all a very huge blessing in our lives, and I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to be able to interview people that have so much insight and teaching. I mean, that was huge. That was a huge distinction for me. It really was.
Yeah.
How the process creates the change.
Yeah. Yes.
And from what you said, correct me if I'm wrong, but that meditation gets us ready for the change. Open enough. Absolutely. Bring down the resistors and be ready to make the change.
Absolutely.
Whether it's within ourself and our thoughts or in relationship or in our work world, as a parent, all of the above.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit, Maria, about what kind of impact you've noticed since, you know, whether it be your personal, personal impact it has had on you personally or with your family or relationships?
It has definitely, I don't think I ever was the type of person that had to convince other people to do what I was doing. I don't think I ever was like that, but doing this work for so long has really made me realize that I don't need to talk about it with everyone. You have to kind of read the room, right? And know who you're in company with at any given time. And I've really gotten comfortable with the fact that it's not me hiding anything. It's just, and it goes back to vocabulary too. You know, what certain people will understand. Communication is so important. The intention behind it is key, of course. And I think a lot of people, I've been thinking recently, a lot of the suffering, a lot of the problems in the world I think, is because people think that they need to control other people's relationship with God.
Or with even in a relationship, power over or controlling how the other person lives.
Yes, you know? Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I think that goes to any religion or belief system or lack thereof. I have friends that are atheist, and that's okay. That's okay. I think you can still be a kind, generous, loving person. Of course, you don't have to believe the same way that I do. And I think, unfortunately, I think a lot of religions become more structured, and there is opportunity for manipulation to happen, you know. And I don't think that that means we throw out religion completely, because I think it's beautiful.
I think it's
a beautiful community. Yeah. Yeah. As long as we don't insist that it is the only way.
Correct.
Right.
Because that leads to self-righteous.
Righteous, yeah. Division, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say that what happens is then we either feel like we belong in society or belong with that group, mm-hmm. or we're just trying to fit in. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to fit in, the joy is gone. You're not living your life experientially. If you feel like you belong to the group, well, what about the guy that doesn't belong to your group or your way of thinking? So again, you miss out on that connection with another human being.
Right.
There's a lot of talk, religion, spirituality. What do you see the difference between like ACOM and the Catholic religion?
I think that the Catholic religion is based on us coming into the world with original sin, that something wrong is wrong with us from the get-go. And we're trying to fix that our whole lives. We're trying to fix that our whole lives. I think that though, even within that Catholic construct, I think it's possible to incorporate some of the ACOM teaching, which is you're all connected, you are divine. I think that it's scary for some people to say that God works through me, that God is me. Religious dogma takes that to the extreme because they're scared, but they don't realize that that is what Jesus was saying, is that he could be anyone. He could be the homeless person knocking on my door. Every person has some of God in them. So I think there's some beauty in both. I think it's human vocabulary and fear and need to control that creates that, where we have the set of rules that you need to follow. I think ACOM does that too. Any kind of organized community has to have some sort of etiquette or commonality, common behavior that's accepted. We all do our meditation at 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning. We don't have to. We're not going to get in trouble if we don't do it. We do it because we want to and we find benefit in it. And that's where I think a lot of religions would benefit if they took that more to heart, especially teaching children.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
How's that going?
Children.
How is it going for you teaching children?
It's going good. And just so your listeners know, I teach first graders right now, but and just once a week. With COVID, it's been less frequent, but it's the Sunday class kind of, not during the week, not at the Catholic school or anything, not that serious. But I think that, you know, to Jim's point about, you know, whether you're trying to belong or whether you feel comfortable in a society, I think it's really important to realize you can belong somewhere, but you can still have issue with some parts of what the community is doing. And I think that's where so much courage is needed. The people who do feel like a part of it need to respectfully, but with a intention to change it for the better, need to speak up and still feel comfortable that they are still part of that community. Because right. Oftentimes in my life, I've been in situations where I say something, and oh, you hate this thing, or you don't, you know, and I'm like, no, it's okay to acknowledge that something you're in is not perfect.
Truly.
We're all working towards.
We're all human.
Better, yes, making things better. And I think it's incumbent upon the people who do have a voice and do have the courage to speak up to do so without feeling like they need to leave the community.
I think that's the only way it's going to evolve into something better.
Exactly. There have to be the brave ones that actually speak up and try to make constructive change. And so you ask me how it's going with teaching the kids. I think especially in COVID, obviously they're feeling so disconnected. But my main thing when I talk to the kids is having them engaged in the fact that God loves them. God loves them is the one thing that they need to know.
Right. At that young, ripe, formative year age. I don't know what grade. Yeah. You can say first graders. Yes.
First grade.
That's still pretty formative. And
yes.
With the doctrine of that original sin, it's pretty key to know that no matter what they do, God loves them.
Exactly. That unconditional love that we're talking about, you know, when we're working on our heart chakra, our anahata, that opening up and that unconditional love for other people and for ourselves, because with the level of anxiety and depression and all sorts of, you know, chaos that's around us right now, I think it's so important that kids know. I think it's also important that they realize that you don't outgrow those feelings. I think they assume all the grown-ups have it all figured out. And I think it's so important to know that they don't. The same thing with any kind of meditation, any kind of group that you're in. We can't all assume all of the monks at Acom don't have their moments. They all have their moments, you know, and like we talk about so often, you know, we need the dark in order to appreciate the light.
Truly.
We need both. There's a balance in nature. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, death and there's life and birth and it all. And depending on the age group, if we're talking about kids, I remember my son, when he first started like in first grade, getting ready for first communion, his teacher took the kids in and she said to them, "You must love God more than your mom, more than your parents."
Oh, wow.
And he came home crying. And you have to, of course, we all know that on our deathbed, no matter who we've loved in our lives, it's us and God. But you don't say that to a first grader.
Yeah, because they'll take it so literally. They don't have the deductive reasoning developed to the point where they can make any kind of sense of that.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
That was a puzzle for you to understand.
Yes. Yes. And it, you know, it just, there are different people in different religious, no matter what the religion is, that explain things differently, of course, whether it's a generation thing or a thing where their personality is very rule driven. If you don't do it this way, you know, you're in trouble. You can't be Catholic if you think gay people can get married, or whatever, you know, the construct might be, whatever the topic. Yes.
Well, so that was real interesting, because at first I was, you know, I saw my mind go, oh, that's wrong for that teacher to say that to your son. And yet
when we step out of the right and wrong, it just opened the door to give you an opportunity to go deeper and to know that that is something that he needed to have expanded.
And it gives us an opportunity, frankly, I'm mentioning it right now to you. Yeah. So it has life. That particular situation has a life and a purpose on its own to help other people. And I think that's really important when we're talking about anything too, not to compare, like even with suffering, the Book of Joy with Dalai Lama, they're talking about suffering, and it's okay to observe the suffering of other people and not, and kind of feel happy. It makes you appreciate your own health more. Yes. For instance, if someone is ill, you can have compassion for them, but still feel appreciation for your own health.
And that, I think that's so important. Brings a connection. It brings connection with the other person as well as with ourselves.
Yes.
That sense of, and with the divine or God.
Yes.
Whatever we refer to our creator as.
Yeah. I love it. So ACAM has been wonderful. Like I said, it was the Oneness University when I started with it. Then it changed to PK Consciousness. It changed names, kind of. And then it's evolved now into ACAM University. I don't know if you've talked about it with your listeners.
A little bit, not in that sequence. And yeah. You had mentioned that earlier in our conversation before we were recording, you mentioned that you had podcasts, and I'm wondering if you want to give your podcast information for any of our listeners that might want to tap in.
Sure. Thank you. You're sure. Welcome. My show is called Strong Body, Strong Soul. And I named it that because several years before the pandemic, I became a certified personal trainer. And I also teach meditation. And so at local establishments in my area, they were asking me to do workshops combining exercise and the chakra dhyana meditation. Because for me, that energy of our voices is part of our physicality and links us to that divine energy. And so these workshops I was doing were great, and I had to think of a name for what to call them. And so Strong Body, Strong Soul made sense to me, and that's what I called my podcast.
I love it.
Yeah. So I started on YouTube first, because when I started doing workshops, my kids and they helped me go on YouTube to try and see who's talking about chakra energy, right? Mm. And we couldn't really resonate with the YouTube videos that were out there. Some of them were like, just too much, too not relatable to our lives. Okay. So they really encouraged me to start doing YouTube videos. So YouTube and then the podcast. And then now I currently also am a meditation teacher on the Insight Timer app, if anybody wants to find me there.
Okay.
That's a free meditation app as well.
Insight Timer.
Yeah. But on the podcast, it's been really fun because I have interviewed people like Leah and Jim and Elizabeth, who are some of the beautiful souls that help run the morning meditations through ACAM that we've met through. Mm-hmm. And also I've talked on my show about some of the teachings that I've learned over the years, of course. Like Jim, before we started recording, was saying most of the time you guys want to have people on here in an interview type conversation, but don't be shy. You guys, the two of you can easily talk about compassion on your own. Yeah. And I know you have been doing some shows like that. A lot of my shows are like that. I don't do guests that often. A lot of the times I'll go through, you know, the four secrets, or I'll talk about some of the manifest events
Right.
that Preacher Jesus, Yes. Once a month, it's a 3-hour manifest event. It's online. It's so worth taking the time for those 3 hours. Each month, it's a different topic, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I come out of there just so inspired that I share on my podcast about it, even if it's just for 20 minutes talking about relationships or talking about the health manifest, sharing some of the breathing techniques, which are things that I teach anyway. But when it comes in a package like that, and it reminds you of what works,
right?
Because I've seen like Tony Robbins, I've seen a couple of times, and I've walked the fire and all that kind of stuff. And some of his breathing techniques are like breath of fire in yoga, or the one that we do with the mystic practice, the breathing. It's a neurological thing. You guys, you know, you guys listening, meditation is actually a way to physically change your body, your heart rate, your temperature, everything about you. And you can heal yourself. You can help become more in tune with your body. That's why a lot of times people who do yoga start to have health benefits, because they start to be more conscious and mindful about how they're moving in their everyday lives and about what they are eating. They are drinking more water. They are making subtle changes that happen because they're physically working their bodies in different ways. So that's what meditation does too. So I think it's important to note, no matter where it's coming from, whether it's Tony Robbins, Akam, Marianne Williamson,
right.
Wayne Dyer,
Maria Humphries.
So many. Yes, Maria Humphries. Which also, by the way, is the beauty of it too, because we are all, every human being on this planet is meant to be a teacher to other people. Really? So when we talk about things that we learn about, it helps so much to spread the good nuggets that come out of those teachings, because we all have different ways to explain it,
interpret it.
Yes.
It's true. It's so true. I mean, with the manifest, when I come out of a manifest, there's a lot of personal stuff that I recognize. And if I am able to share that personal journey that I'm on with somebody else, where a lot of us are mirror images of someone else. You know, we look at each other and say, oh, yeah, I can connect with that. And so it's so beautiful to be reminded sometimes of that.
Absolutely.
And with the body, you couldn't pick a better name for your podcast.
Sometimes I actually have learned, too, that I'll do stretching on the show as well. Because for me, sometimes if I'm on the floor stretching and I'm listening to someone, I don't need to see the screen anyway. Right. When they're talking me through a spinal twist or something,
you just need
a guide. Yeah.
Yeah. We did a yoga session this morning. It was all about connecting the body, opening up the lymph system.
Yes.
This movement and, you know, whatever we did. And it all connected into the organs and then
nervous system
mm-hmm. and then it opens up the chakras, and then all of a sudden you have this wisdom, or you know, whatever
insights, creativity flows,
right?
It's flowing, beautiful.
Because
absolutely
all of a sudden you're taking care of the body and the soul,
right?
And so if you want to know more,
this podcast. Strong body, strong soul.
That's right.
With your host, Maria. I'm also on TikTok now, too.
You're getting around.
My kids have been trying to get me to go on. Well, they're friends more than my kids. Because now they're at the point they're a little embarrassed because I'm so out there. But they're friends. They'll come up to me, Maria, you need to be on TikTok. They think,
I love it. So
I have a Strong Body, Strong Soul is on TikTok as well, because I have some of my photography on there, and they're only 3-minute videos on TikTok. Oh, nice. But that is enough time, you guys, to center yourself on a beautiful flower. Mm-hmm. This morning I went for a walk by a beautiful lake, and the I'm in Southern California, as we mentioned at the beginning. So obviously it's dry here, and it rained yesterday.
Ooh,
and it was such a miracle. And some of my photography catches the raindrops on the petals and stuff. And so I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to take some of that photography from this morning, actually, and put it into a montage with beautiful music and a little bit of a meditation of gratitude for the rain. And it's just enough of a little breath of beauty, even on TikTok, because it's not just about silly dancing and stuff, you know?
That's wonderful. I don't really know about TikTok too much. I've heard it, but I don't really.
I'm starting to embrace it. I'll send you a link. Beauty of TikTok is that you don't need an account. You don't need to be on TikTok in order to see a video too.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
So you don't have to sign up because people don't really want a new password and a new get on a new app and stuff. So I'll send you some.
That sounds, intriguing.
Oh, good.
Well, I must say you've been a breath of fresh air, Maria. This has been an interview. Really appreciate you coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking me. I knew it would be fun. So yes, you guys, go ahead and thank you guys, the listeners out here. Thank you for stopping by and sharing some of your time with us. I hope could resonate with what we're talking about.
And we're so happy that we get to be with you every Thursday evening at this time. So, okay, Maria. Well, thank you.
Keep coming back, you guys, to the show here.
Check
the archives, right, for other conversations that might have some nuggets too.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria.
And that's so true. What Maria said, you could, folks, you can get on kgvm.org. And we just started, so I'm not sure if all of the archives are in there yet or all of the shows, but you can connect with us that way. And you have anything to add?
Well, if we have time, we could sing a song, song.
Oh, let's do that.
Okay. So here we go.
May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on.
Okay. See you next week.
On the occasion of International World Peace Day, let us immerse in a beautiful peace meditation. Kindly sit still and close your eyes. Inhale into your lungs deeply. And say the word peace within. Exhaling slowly, say within peace. Peace. Place your palms on your heart. Breathe into your heart. Breathe out of your heart. For whatever you have been angry with yourself, say to yourself, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I am at peace. Feel it deeply and see within yourself. I forgive myself. I am at peace. I am at peace. Relax your palms and feel as if you are breathing peace in and breathing peace out. Think of one person you judge and dislike. For a few moments, stay in the knowing that the other person's sadness, other person's fear is no different from your own. Space of compassion. Wish that the other person be free of pain and unhappiness in life. Feel as if you are placing your palms on the other person's heart. I am at peace with you. I am at peace with you. I am at peace with you. As you see this, feel the other person's smile. See all the children and the young people of the world experiencing beautiful states of peace and joy. See them peaceful and joyful, like little Buddhas. Feel a world where these peace-loving people are heading tomorrow's politics, businesses, technology, science, and entertainment. Make a sacred intention to bring peace to the children around you. Deeply inhale and say, I am at peace with the future. I am at peace with the future. I am at peace with the future. Expand your sense of peace even further. Think of the world, all the people, thousands of them who travel with you on road every day. Feel the anxiety behind their faces. And say, I and you are one. Expand your awareness even further. Think of the earth, she is that mother who has become our body. We are made of her earth, her soil. She is that mother who becomes our food. She is the energy that courses through our brains and bodies. It is her water that courses through our veins as blood. Feel the interconnection with the earth and bless her that she be peaceful. Bless that the earth may be well, that all her life forms may live peacefully. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu, lokan samastan sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti shanti shanti. May we be instruments of peace for all life on earth. Take a deep breath. Slowly open your eyes.